It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's Saturday, June 22nd and Sunday, June 23rd, depending on when you're listening to this. And so summer is upon us. We've had some great weather this week. For those of you listening to this on Saturday, it's too late to join me at the Capital City Classic, but that starts at 8 a.m., and that's right down on Main Street, and that's part of the Capital Area Race Series, and it's doing really well. We've had some team competition this year, so there's a bunch of older, very elite men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and then we have a big, huge team called Mugwumps, which is a combination of Delta Dental and some other running friends. And so I think there's going to be some neck-and-neck competition as well as great individual competition. And then if you're listening to this, there is a race on Sunday called the Shaker 7, and that starts at 9 a.m., and that's at the Enfield Recreation Park in Enfield. That's one of my favorite races. You're at the Upper Valley. You meet some other new running friends, and 7 miles is an unusual distance for New Hampshire running. However, speaking of 7 miles, my guest this weekend is Chris Dunn, and I'll ask him to introduce him in a little bit more detail later. But this past weekend was the 59th running of the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, which is 7.6 miles, but of course, literally straight up. If you've ever driven up the auto road, that's literally what you're running up. And Chris, we had a very unusual occurrence last Saturday, and that is Brittany Hutton of Lubbock, Texas, and Heidi Caldwell of Vermont hit the finish line tape literally in the same instance, 1 hour, 16 minutes, 17 seconds. We had different photo finishes. One of the photos looked like Brittany went first. Another photo looked like Heidi finished first. And then we looked at the timing, the chip stuff, and down to the hundredth of a second, it was a flat-footed tie. So, after consultation, they declared it a tie. So that was unbelievable, wouldn't you say? I've never seen that in mountain racing, have you?
No. I clearly haven't. You know, for those two women to finish side by side, you know, after 7+ miles of racing uphill, particularly the last, 50 yards, which is called the wall, as you know very well, 22% grade. That last little stretch for them to stay shoulder to shoulder and cross the tape together is really quite extraordinary. I have not in my time seen anything quite like that in mountain running for sure, and particularly at the Mount Washington Road Race.
It was so unusual that we were all stunned. Brittany from Lubbock, Texas, was kind of in the lead the whole time, and then Heidi crept up on her, and then there they go. And as you can't really, unless you've ever run it or driven it, you can't really understand what Chris is saying. But literally, when you run that last bit, your hands are on your knees, right? So it's not like you're sprinting, the last 100 meters of a 5K race where you could conceivably see how a tie could occur, but it did. And then on the men's side, Eric Blake, this was great because he's in his 40s, which is way younger than I am, but still getting up there a little bit in running. And he won for the fourth time, finished just a little over an hour. And as you know, Chris, only 8 human beings have ever run it in less than an hour. Joe Gray has missed the last 2 years. He's had other racing commitments, but for 4 years in a row, he got under an hour. 58:59. Of course, the world record is John Wyatt from South Africa. So let's start there because in the spirit of transparency, Chris, tell us about your background in terms of acidotic racing, but also training. And I know you helped my wife train for this race, and she did great. I struggled and made it to the top for my 9th or 10th. I'm happy to do it. When you're finishing at the end, everybody's cheering. So at least for the video that Ambrose Solomini puts on, I look good. People are amazed. God, Tom, you look good at the end. But that's the only time I look good.
Well, so, you're really good at rallying, I guess, Tom. Right at the end when you know the spotlight is on and people are looking.
It's
right.
It's funny because the finish line is right there. But it was amazing to see these two ladies sprint. So in terms of When you, with your training hat on, I mean, tell us about your business there, and then we of course want to get into the American Trail Running Association as well as the Loon Race coming.
Yeah, sure. So, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on again. It's always a pleasure to be with you, particularly to be with you in studio and to talk running, and more specifically to talk about mountain running, which is a it's a passion of mine personally, and it's also a business venture. As you sort of alluded to, I'm the owner and founder of Acidotic Racing. We are first of all, Acidotic Racing is kind of two things at one time. We are an off-road event management company. We host eight or nine trail, mountain races, snowshoe races throughout the year. And we've built a little business on off-road racing. That's the event management side of Acidotic Racing. But Acidotic Racing is also it's a community of like-minded endurance athletes. We have over 150 people throughout New England and beyond who represent this off-road community that we've developed. So as the owner and founder of that business, that certainly keeps me busy day in and day out as we kind of prepare for these events. Obviously, the larger the event, the more logistics that are involved with it. But my full-time occupation now is as a professional endurance coach. I was trained as an exercise physiologist a number of decades ago, worked in the healthcare field for many years. At the end of 2017, I took a leap, walked away from my full-time career and decided to become an entrepreneur. Started my own coaching business called Ascend Endurance Coaching. And I have a roster of athletes of all abilities, from elite athletes to folks that are more recreationalist, but still all want to get the most out of what they have to give. Your wife Ellen is a really good example of that. Ellen is a very passionate runner, who I'm very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with. She along with a number of my other athletes racing at Mount Washington just did an extraordinary job this weekend. That race is just so difficult. You have to be in just the right mindset, because as you look up, there's no break. It's unrelenting.
There's no break. And that's the difference. I find it, and we'll talk about Loon momentarily, but I find it the hardest of all the mountain races that I've done, because after you get past the first couple of hundred yards at the beginning of the auto road, there's no place where there's ever any downhill. It continues to rise. So you have this psychological thing, oh my God, and you look up and there's runners above you, and it's absolutely crazy. But if someone wanted to contact you, how would they do that? Because I can tell you it was just the right touch for Ellen, because Ellen, as most of you know, I think is very independent minded and has her own way of doing a lot of things. But you really guided her, and I think she had a great time wise, but also had a great time training, and she didn't really, suffer at all. In fact, both of us felt really good Sunday and Monday. So if someone wanted to contact you from a training perspective, how would they do that?
Sure. Yeah. I think the best way is to visit my website at ascendendurancecoaching.com. There's a lot of background information there, and there's also a way to get a hold of me. I'm also active on social media too, both on Facebook and on Instagram. So I'm fairly easy to get in touch with. Email is generally the best. And again, there's a way to contact me on my website.
And give us, it's always interesting for me to hear what acidotic means, but also that you also, in addition to that camaraderie philosophy that you briefly described, that you also have a philosophy on charitable giving. So let's talk about those two things.
Yeah, sure. So, what was important for me right from the beginning with founding Acidotic Racing was we wanted to have a very close tie to our community. And charitable giving is something that, my parents kind of passed down to me. I grew up with that philosophy that, if you have a little extra, it's probably good to help someone that is not as fortunate as you are. And I'm blessed in so many ways to have what I have, and I'm very happy to share it. Now through Acidotic Racing and the events that we host, I'm able to give back to a much larger degree with the support that we've gotten from the trail and mountain running communities over the years. So we have three pillars with Acidotic Racing: community, competition, and charity. And so every decision that we make with our business has to be made within the framework and context of those three pillars. Does it benefit the local community? Is there a competitive component to it? And then lastly, do we have a way to give back through charitable giving? And I think our events clearly sort of fit those three pillars. I should also say too that our community members live those principles as well. So our charitable giving extends beyond just the races or the nonprofits that our races benefit. Our charitable giving extends to our team members as well in their own charitable giving pursuits.
And you can see that, and it's great to see the Acidotic shirts at all the events that I'm at. So let's start on Loon. Let's start with the specific details, and then we'll get into the history of it. Date and time, and can people at this time enter it?
Yeah, sure. So I would be remiss if I didn't point out our new presenting sponsor, Saucony. We have engaged in a multi-year agreement with the great folks at Saucony to create this partnership whereby Saucony is able to develop their trail running line by helping, by partnering with us to get the word out about their new product launch. And for us, bringing in the resources and the know-how of the great folks at Saucony just adds a tremendous value to our event. So every event now is going to be, at least for the next 2 years, will be presented by Saucony. So it's the Loon Mountain Race presented by Saucony. They will have actually a pretty large presence at the Loon Mountain Race. It should be fairly clear that we have engaged in this strategic partnership with them.
I congratulate you on that, because it's harder than you think to land a presenting sponsor, and one that also is authentic. So that's great. So the date of the race?
Sure. The Loon Mountain Race is Sunday, July 7th, 2019. There will be day of event entry. The pre-registration or online registration will run right through Thursday before the event. So there's still plenty of time to sign up early, but if you miss the online registration deadline, folks can show up the morning of the race. Probably is important to note that you probably are going to want to bring cash or check, as we don't accept electronic payment, credit card payment anyway. We potentially have some other options for people to pay day of, but generally speaking, cash or check is probably the best way to do it if you're going to sign up day of.
And I hope I see people there. It's so much fun. So that's July 7th. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio and Chris Dunn this weekend as we lead up to the Loon Mountain Race presented by Saucony. And let's talk, and that's July 7th. Let's talk, Chris, about the history of the event. And also, one thing we talked about last year was the success that you've had in breaking down the barrier to female participation in mountain running, where it used to be the vast majority were male, and we've really, through some initiatives of you and Paul Kirsch, you've been able to get the percentage of women registered, at least to half. So let's talk about that initiative, but also the history of the race. I know some years it qualifies for some national championships and so forth. So let's talk about that.
Sure, yeah. I appreciate you asking about the history of the race, because the Loon Mountain Race is something that Acidotic Racing has only been involved with for the last few years. But the event has been in existence since 2006, when Paul Kirsch and some of his cohorts decided to get a race together at Loon. So the Loon Mountain Race was started in 2006. It has, as you have pointed out, played host to the U.S. Mountain Running Championship four times, actually. In 2012, it was the women's qualifier. The men qualified at Mount Washington that year, but it was the women's qualifier in 2012. Interestingly enough, that women's team went on to win the gold medal at the World Mountain Running Championships. After that, the USA Track and Field decided that as far as qualifiers go, Loon would be a great choice for both the men and the women in up down years. In world mountain running, the course changes year to year. One year the race is just uphill only. The next year the race is up and down. Loon, as a predominantly uphill race or course, satisfies the championship in uphill years, just like Mount Washington would. Again, but because of the result of that women's team in 2012, USA Track and Field decided that going forward in years in which the world championship was uphill, Loon might be a good option. So therefore, three additional times after 2012, 2014, 2016, and 2018, uphill years, the Loon Mountain Race served as the U.S. championship in which the men's and women's team were named to go represent the United States at the World Mountain Running Championship. You know, I'll also say, too, that from fairly humble beginnings, the Loon Mountain Race has grown just exponentially. In 2006, there were 96 finishers. Last year, in 2018, we had 862 finishers. So we've seen tremendous growth in that particular race throughout the years. But really, since the U.S. Championships, and the word has gotten out. So not only is the Loon Mountain Race a regional event, it's become a national event and even an international event.
Exactly. The way Chris described that is perfectly. There are these elite runners like Joe Gray that are there and others, Eric Blake. And then there's some people like us that are just having fun. So when you're finishing up, you do, for those of you that, I love to ski, so those of you that ski Walking Boss, you're actually running up that at the end. And I, Chris knows this, but I tend to, at that point, do the bear crawl up, however I can get up. And then, like you said, in every other year, then once you get to the top, some years then you're going down again, and some years, you know, you end at the top. But it really is a lot of fun, and you're right there with all these other elite athletes. My goal last year, the women last year started an hour after, right? So my goal was to, with an hour head start, beat the first woman. And I barely did that, but did it. But it's a great combination. And I credit you and Paul. And it's a, you know, you get in the gondola on the way down. It's just a lot of fun. So that's coming up at July 7th, presented by Saucony. So you can register electronically now or day of event?
Yeah, sure. You know, you mentioned Upper Walking Boss. I should also say, too, not only has Saucony been a great, is a great partner, but Northeast Delta Dental has been a tremendous partner as well. In fact, for the second consecutive year, Northeast Delta Dental is presenting Upper Walking Boss. So the most infamous kilometer in all of mountain running is now presented by Northeast Delta Dental, and there will be prize money. There's $1,500 in prize money for the top three fastest men and women on this kilometer section of course. So there's sort of this little race within a race, if you will. There'll be a timing mat at the bottom of Upper Walking Boss and a timing mat at the finish. So not only will we, you know, note the top three fastest men and women on that section of course, but everybody will get a split time on that last kilometer race. So you kind of can have some bragging rights with your friends or your spouse, however you want to do it.
It's really cool when you get that split, and then there are these cool posters, you know, like my boss beat your boss up Walking Boss and things like that. So it's a lot, you know, I'm saying this, it's a lot of fun, but it definitely can be a challenge. Let's talk about the initiative to get more women participation in mountain running.
Yeah, sure. So you know, prior to last year, Paul and I had a very constructive conversation about ways that we could break down barriers for women to participate in mountain running. What we had seen historically at our mountain races, and really that what we saw at our mountain races held true for all the other mountain races in the region, was that, you know, only about 30% of the field were female participants. And for us, that seemed like an area for improvement. And we understand that not everybody is going to be into mountain running, and that's perfectly fine. Not everybody needs to be into mountain running. But what we wanted to make sure was that there weren't barriers to participation that couldn't be overcome by logistics, by the efforts of race directors. What we wanted to make sure was that we turned over every stone that we possibly could to make sure that there weren't these unintended barriers to participation. So what we did prior to last year was we offered first-time female participants at our Loon Mountain race last year a 50% discount on registration. And we got a tremendous amount of support and publicity for that. So we increased the participation from about 30% the year before to almost 50% of the participants last year were women. And I will say too, Tom, that it's one thing to make a big splash 1 year, but you got to follow that up, right? It's not terribly significant if you just make a change 1 year. We've got to see that change occur year over year. So this year, I just checked the stats before I came today. We have 932 people pre-registered already for Loon. 52% of them right now are women.
Well, I congratulate you and salute you. And I think the sustainability of that is awesome. Let's talk briefly about if I'm a neophyte and I want to try it for the first time, what should I be wearing in terms of shoes, and how do I get back down the mountain? I already sort of gave you the hint that you're going down back probably by the gondola, and then you've got an upcoming race in Kingman, and then we'll call it a wrap.
Yeah, sure. So I think the most important thing is appropriate footwear. A lot of folks will come to the Loon Mountain Race having never run a trail race before, perhaps run off-road but never raced off-road, and almost certainly have never run up a hill. It's important to understand that our Loon Mountain Race runs on a couple different surfaces. There are trails, and those trails have rocks and mud and roots. We run and race up grass ski slopes, and we also race up gravel service roads. So ideally, a trail shoe with a sort of an aggressive outsole that has some traction probably is important. You pointed out the pitch on Upper Walking Boss at times is almost 50% grade. As you correctly pointed out, some people will bear crawl it. Upper Walking Boss, if the course has had rain in the days preceding, Upper Walking Boss can get a little greasy. And so it's really important to have good footwear. Aside from that, it's really about looking at what the weather's going to be in the 24 hours before the race in terms of whether or not you're going to want a rain jacket. Generally, it's shorts and t-shirts. But again, the most important thing is probably footwear. Folks do ask a lot about, how do I get back down the mountain? Well, you'll get back down the mountain by riding the gondola. So every participant gets a free ride back down to the bottom of the mountain on the gondola. It's important to note, you know, with 900 people racing and the gondola having a maximum loading rate, there oftentimes are lines at the top. So please be patient with us as you're
waiting. But it goes fast. And if you've done the race, you're just so glad you finished it that you really don't care if you're waiting for the sit down and the ride down. Give us 2 seconds on Kingman upcoming for August 3rd.
Sure, yeah. So after Loon, the next race on our schedule will be the August 3rd, 2019 Kingman Farm Trail Race. That trail race benefits the Doug Flutie Foundation, for Autism.
Great. So the Loon presented by Saucony is July 7th, Kingman August 3rd. Give us the Acidotic and your personal training website.
Yeah, sure. So for all the information on all the events that we've got coming up, visit us at acidoticracing.com. And to contact me about getting on an endurance training program, visit my website at ascendendurancecoaching.com.
Great. So I hope to see all my running friends on July 7th, if not before. Chris Dunn, thank you all you've done for the racing community, not just mountain racing, but running and wellness in general. And thank you for joining me this weekend.
Thank you, Tom. Same to you.
Tom Raffio returns next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.